Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Nikki Lee and the Late Night Horrors. Hope you guys are in for a nice spook tonight. If you guys would like to donate, though, to the podcast so I can up the episodes a lot and do a lot more work on them, maybe even add some different people in here, get some people in here with me. But all you have to do is go to the link in the bio of the podcast. Click the link, and you can automatically send some money and donate. Your choice how much you want to pay, but definitely cheap prices, so don't worry. Also, if you guys do have any spooky stories, please email me in the email in the description. Okay, I would love to hear you guys' stories, like, please. I will definitely speak them if you would like me to. I will definitely speak them on the podcast. You can go anonymous. I can say your name. It's up to you completely. I know privacy is a thing. So I'm going to make the podcast episode today a little bit longer than 12 minutes. So hope you guys are in for a spooky night on the dark side. The first story I have for you is called They Got the Definition Wrong by Louis. Quoting, insanity is realizing you no longer fall asleep. It has been said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I understood the sentiment behind the saying, but it's wrong. I entered the building on a bed. I was strapped for cash and didn't buy into the whole legends of the hotel to begin with. So, $50 was more than enough to get me into it. It was simple, just to reach the top floor and the 45th floor. Shine my flashlight from the window. The hotel was old and broken, including the elevator, so that meant hiking up the stairs. So, up the stairs I went. As I reached each platform, I noted that the old brass plaques displaying the floor numbers 15, 16, 17, 18. I felt a little tired as I crept higher, but so far, no ghosts, no cannibals, no demons, piece of cake. I can tell you how happy I was when I entered the last stretch of numbers. I joyfully counted them aloud at each platform, 40, 41. 42, 43, 44, 44. Oh, well, looks like they put a little bit of a typo in there. I was supposed to say 45. Sorry about that, guys. I stopped and looked back down the stairs. I must have miscounted. Maybe not a typo. Ooh, hope you guys are, getting a little bit spooked, because this is going to be one night, alright. So I counted up, 44. One more flight, 44. And then down 10 flights, 44. 15 flights, 44. And so it's been for as long as I can remember. So really, insanity is doing something repeatedly and expecting different results. It's knowing that the results will never change. That each door leads to the same staircase, to the same number. It's realizing you no longer fall asleep. It's not knowing whether you've been running for days or weeks or years. It's when the sobbing slowly turns into laughter. I kind of like that story. I am sorry, though, about the typo. I thought that was a typo. I guess not. But that was a bit creepy. Maybe a little bit more creepier than the story last night about the skin on the wall, if you guys paid attention to that one. And all those missing people. Ooh, that was definitely a little bit creepy. Next story I have is My Daughter Learned to Count by Real Science 87. Quoting, "My daughter woke me around 11:50 last night." Oh, sheesh, this one is really, really short, so. "My daughter woke me around 11:50 last night. My wife and I had picked her up from her friend Sally's birthday party, brought her home, and put her to bed. My wife went into the bedroom to read while I was asleep, watching the Braves game. 'Daddy,' she whispered, tugging my shirt sleeve, 'guess how I'm going to be next month?' 'I don't know, beauty,' I said as I slipped on my glasses. 'How old?' She smiled and held up four fingers. 'It is 7:30 now. My wife and I have been up for almost 8 hours. She still refuses to tell us where she got them.'" Wait, what? Okay. I'm going to take a guess. I don't really know. Oh my gosh. That is, it's very creepy, guys. Little bit confusing, but very creepy. The next story I have for you guys is called Timekeeper by Gridster 2. Quoting, "Eventually, the watch began its final countdown." He had been given the watch on his 10th birthday. It was ordinary, gray, plastic wristwatch in every respect except for the fact that it was counting down. "This is all of the time you have left in the world, son. Use it wisely." And indeed he did. As the watch ticked away, the boy, now a man, lived the life to the fullest. He climbed mountains and swam oceans. He talked and laughed and lived and loved. The man was never afraid, for he knew exactly how much time he had left. Eventually, the watch began the countdown, its final countdown. The old man stood looking over everything he had done, everything he built. He shook his hands with his old business partner, the man who had long been his friend and confidant, for his dog came and licked his hand, earning a pat on the head for its companionship. 3. He hugged his son, knowing that he had been a good father. 2. He kissed his wife on the forehead one last time. 1. The old man smiled and closed his eyes. Then nothing happened. The watch beeped once and turned off. The man stood standing there, very much alive. You would think that in this moment he would have been overjoyed. Instead, for the first time in his life, the man was scared. What would you guys do if you had a watch on your wrist counting down the days you guys were gonna live? That is, a bit creepy. I don't know how I feel about that one. Okay. The next story I have for you guys is "There's No Reason to Be Afraid" by Whoever Fights Monsters. Quoting, "But our favorite thing was the ghost." When my sister Betsy and I were kids, our families lived for a while in an old, charming farmhouse. We loved exploring its dusty corners and climbing the apple tree in the backyard, but our favorite thing was the ghost. We called her Mother because she seemed so kind and nurturing. Some mornings, Betsy and I would wake up, and on each of our nightstands, we'd find a cup that hadn't been there the night before. Mom had left it there, worried that we'd get thirsty during the night. She just wanted to take care of us. Among the house's original furniture was an antique wooden chair we kept against the back wall of the living room. Whenever we were preoccupied watching TV, playing a video game, Mother would inch that chair forward across the room toward us. Sometimes she'd manage to move it all the way to the center of the room. We always felt sad putting it back against the wall. Mother just wanted to be near us. Years later, long after we moved out, I found old newspaper articles about the farmhouse's original occupant, a widow. She murdered her two children by giving them each a cup of poison milk before bed. Then she hanged herself. The article included a photo of the farmhouse's living room with the woman's body hanging from a beam beneath her, knocked over. Was that old wooden chair placed exactly in the center of the room?
Oh no! Guys, you can't be doing that! No. You gotta watch. Don't be accepting ghosts like that, because sometimes, just like whenever you play with an Ouija board, some ghosts can pretend to be others. So you have to be careful when it comes to spirits. You never know. You could be talking to one, and they might just pretend to be somebody you know who you think you're talking to.
The next story I have for you is called The Perfect Plan by Hunt Frog. Quoting, I walked up to Mr. Quinn, the guidance counselor, and shot him in the face 3 times. On Monday, I came up with the perfect plan. No one even knew we were friends. On Tuesday, he stole a gun from his dad. On Wednesday, we decided to make our move during the following day's prep rally. On Thursday, while the entire school was in the gym, we waited just outside the doors. I was to use the gun on whoever walked out first. Then he would take the gun, go to the gym blasting. I walked up to Mr. Quinn, the guidance counselor. I shot him in the face 3 times. He fell back into the gym, dead. The shots were deafening. We heard screams in the auditorium. No one else could see us yet. I handed him the gun and whispered, "Your turn." He ran into the gym and started firing. I followed a moment after. He hadn't hit anyone yet. The kids were scrambling and hiding. It was mayhem. I ran up behind him and tackled him. We struggled. I wrenched the gun out of his hands, turned it around on him, and killed him. I closed his mouth forever. On Friday, I was anointed a hero. It was indeed the perfect plan.
Man, be careful who you trust. We got people who like to turn their backs on others. Which, I mean, if somebody's trying to get you to peer pressure you into doing something like that, yeah, even if it's not peer pressure, don't do that, guys. Seriously. It's just not a good thing. Don't need anybody going to jail or locked up for life. Okay. The next story is called Warrior of God by KMA Pock. Quoting, I kill the monsters you don't ever want to know about. If God exists, why is there so much evil in the world? It's a common question, but it is all misplaced. All things must have balance. Light and dark, good and evil, sound and silence. Without one, the other cannot exist. So if that is true, then God does nothing to fight the evil? That might be your follow-up question. Of course he fights evil. Relentlessly, I am Dardalyn, one of his most holy and righteousness angels. I roam the earth disposing of evil wherever I can find it. I kill the monsters you don't ever want to know about. I crush them completely so you can sleep at night. You humans have no idea how many of you live because of the work I do. But what about Satan, Hitler, Ted Bundy, Jack the Ripper, Stalin? Well, those are all minor ones. I had to let live for balance. The ones I destroy are too horrible and vile to survive. What's funny is I would wager you never have to hear their name. Darling is any righteous religious text. I bet you have heard of me. Americans, for example, have their own name for me: sudden infant death syndrome. Huh. Interesting. I actually am. No. I mean, like, no religious arguments, but they are right. There definitely has to be one for the other to exist. God does fight the evil. And if he can't fight the evil, then there's no good. Because without evil, you can't have good. There is always one side to the other. The next one is called Hell by Mean Pete. I felt the presence of the cave as if it was lifting and a living, breathing creature. There was no pearly gate. The only reason I knew I was in a cave was because I had just passed the entrance. The rock wall rose behind me, no ceiling in sight. I knew it was it. This was the religion talked about. What man feared. I had just entered the gate of hell. I felt the presence of the cave as if it was a living, breathing creature. The stench of rotten flesh overwhelmed me. Then there was a voice. It came from inside and all around. Welcome. Who are you? I asked, trying to keep myself composure. You know, the thing answered. I did know. You are the devil? I stuttered, quickly losing my composure. Why me? I've lived as good as I could. The silence overtook the space as my words died out. It seemed like an hour went by before the response came. What did you expect? The voice was penetrating but patient. I don't know. I never believed in any of this, I uttered. It is why I am here. Silence, I continued. They say the greatest trick you ever pulled was convincing the world you don't exist. No, the greatest trick I ever pulled was convincing the world that there was an alternative. There is no God, I shivered. The cave trembled with the words. I am God. Interesting. I don't know. Very interesting, though. I kind of like that one. What would you guys do if you got stuck in a random cave like that? Sounds pretty creepy to me. Okay. The next episode... Well, not episode, sorry. The next story I have for you guys, and the last story for the night, is called The Accident by Min Boy. Quoting, then someone tapped on the front door and his world suddenly crumbled away beneath him. It was 1 a.m. and Guy Halverson sat in his dark living room. He hadn't moved for over an hour. The accident early that kept it evening kept playing over and over in his mind. The light turned red, and then it was a hurry and accelerated. An orange blur came from his right and split in a second. There was a violent jolt. Then the bicyclist, sorry about that, guys. I have something in my throat. Then the bicyclist rolled across his hood and fell out of sight on the pavement. Horns blared angrily as he panicked, stepping on the gas and screeching away in the chaos into the darkness, shaken and keeping eyes on his rearview mirror until he got home. "Why did you run, you idiot?" He never committed a crime before this and punished himself by imagining years in jail. His career gone, his family gone, his future gone. "Why not just go to the police right now? You can afford a lawyer." Then someone tapped on the front door, and his world suddenly crumbled away beneath him. "They found me." There was nothing he could do but answer. Running would only make matters worse. His body trembled. He got up, went to the door, and opened it. A police officer stood under the porch light. "Mr. Halverson?" asked the grim officer. He let out a deafened sigh. "Yes, let me. I am terribly sorry, but I'm afraid I have some bad news. Your son's bike was struck by a hit-and-run driver this evening. He died at the scene. I'm very sorry for your loss." "Oh, well, that is, that's very heartful, because I feel really bad for the man. Wow. Accidentally running into his own son. Ooh. I don't know how to feel about that, guys. That is a bit creepy, though. That is my last story for the night, though. So, I do hope you guys did enjoy all this. I am actually, even though I talked about this in the last episode, I'm going to be posting daily, most likely between 7 to 12 o'clock at night. I'll be posting around those times. I do hope you guys do enjoy these stories, though. I will definitely be doing a lot more. I am sorry for most of the mess-ups tonight. I literally ate a bag of popcorn. Everybody knows how kernels are. Yeah. But have a very spooky night. Hopefully no ghost or monsters come to get you guys. Good night.